Hey guys, thanks for tuning in this episode of the Upshift Podcast, and happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you live where the weather is nice and you can get out and ride your bike and ride some calories off after you eat turkey and pie all day. But me and Brian have a good time on this episode like we always do. You know, we talk motorcycles, we talk everything under the sun that has to do with motorcycles. Just a good time. But again, thanks for tuning in to the Upshift Podcast, and I want to thank our sponsors that we had teaming up with us this year, Mike and the team down in Florida with Suspension Technology, CNC Thunder and the gang there here in my hometown, everybody that's contributed to us to help us get the podcast out and just have a good time talking about motorcycles. But again, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Upshift Podcast, and we will see you on the next one. Hey guys, let's talk suspension. When the Upshift guys ride, we ride with Suspension Technologies. Built to a standard, not a price. Mike and his team are American made as it gets. Check those guys out on Instagram at Suspension Technologies, on Facebook at suspensiontechnologies.com. Hey guys, this is Brian with the Upshift Podcast. And when I ride, I got CNC Thunder riding with me. CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles keeps my Road Glide in tip-top shape and all the bikes that I own. They keep me going down the road with all parts and service. Check those guys out on Instagram at CC Thunder. Check them out on Facebook at CNC Thunder and CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles.com. They're here in my hometown in Calpin, South Carolina, and those guys are celebrating 25 years in business. 25 years says a lot about an independent motorcycle shop. They're doing it right. Get Thunderstruck at CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles. And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Ryan? How you been?
Oh, pretty good, man. Pretty good. We are back at it. The Thanksgiving show, how many Black Friday parts are you going to buy for your motorcycle show? the Thanksgiving Don't Burn Your Turkey podcast.
Yes. They say every American is going to gain 8 pounds over the holiday season. I think I'm halfway there already.
Oh, you started early.
Oh, yeah.
What are the traditions in New Hampshire for Thanksgiving?
As far as food-wise, or just like...
I mean, you know, throughout the country, everybody is turkey and football.
Yeah,
but for me and you, I don't watch football.
Nope.
I mean, I eat turkey, but, you know, hopefully I will get to take a motorcycle ride.
Yeah, see, it's turkey and cranberry sauce.
Okay, we have that here in the South.
Out of a can.
Yeah, out of a can that's shaped in a can. Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah. And then, so turkey, and probably take a nap, go out in the garage, and just relax. Yeah, nothing crazy. Have some pies afterwards for dessert.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Maybe, do you start your Black Friday shopping Thanksgiving?
Well, I feel like all the companies are already in their Black Friday mode, and I haven't quite seen anything yet that I've want to purchase, but I'm hoping to see something. I want to buy something. It doesn't take much for me to want to buy something.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. I did get the Hoffman email, this afternoon.
Yep.
20% off on the website.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Anything left that you need to buy, or?
Oh, I mean, I would buy everything, but no, you know what mode I'm in right now.
I do. So, quick question. How is the Road Glide coming along after its accident?
Well, I've got all of the damaged parts off, you know, the scratched up parts, and I've repaired what I can. I'm waiting for a Black Friday to order some parts.
Okay.
the front fairing. I don't know if I'm going to do the inner fairing. I thought about it, but I kind of like the gloss black, so that might be down the road. But, I mean, I really don't need, you know, I'd like to go to an 18-inch rear tire on the back. Wheel. I've been looking for those, but I'm in FXR mode right now, so it's not that I'm not going to quit buying parts for the Road Glide, because it's almost finished to my likings.
Yep.
But I'm going to take a step back and not do anymore.
Well, welcome to the FXR side, because I've been there and I'm still there.
I mean, so do we want to go ahead and start talking about that now?
Well, you talked about Black Friday, so it just came to me. So like you, I haven't really been focusing on the Road Glide, but if I can get a LaPera seat on Black Friday for a good deal, I might get one for the Road Glide.
Okay. And yeah, you would enjoy that seat.
Yeah, I enjoy it on the FXR, and it's just a good seat.
Yeah, their quality is top notch. Yeah, I was looking at all those, and Daytona again there just a few weeks ago at Biketoberfest. They set up inside the dealership there in Daytona. Yeah. Looking at, they don't have everything. I mean, because it's crazy. They should. I mean, I know what the costs would be astronomical, but I guess if I saw something and I could touch it, I'm more apt to buy it.
Definitely. I agree.
But there's things I know what I'm getting, so I don't need to touch it and buy it, or I've seen it before, or, you know, I know, you know, if I'm getting some, you know, an air filter or oil filter or something, I already know what it is, so I don't have to touch it and feel it. But, you know, a seat, that's a pretty big purchase. I mean, what's a LaPera seat? $600?
Yeah, I think $525 is the price pre-Black Friday, so.
Hardcore Cycles, they've started theirs. I know they do LaPera. I'm trying to think of somebody else.
I think Deadbeat Customs, I think they have them.
Okay. Seems like I saw something pop through on Instagram or Facebook or something. I don't know. There's so many, but I'm trying to zero down to, you know, I'll Google what I'm looking for and then go to that site to see. You know, we always know the Hoffman, you know, for the past couple of years. Like all the stuff I bought last year, I bought on Black Friday.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. Yep.
Carbon and all that, I'd ordered it long before. So the color carbon is not in the Black Friday, but I know the standard carbon is.
Yeah, the colors, yeah, that's not a Black Friday deal.
No. They're a little bit more in depth. But yeah, so hopefully we will get some deals. Hopefully you get a seat. And if not, our Christmas episode, we will put out a call to Santa and maybe he can put it under the tree for you.
All right. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I tried to get a guest on with us tonight, but he was busy. A last minute guest, just to bring someone else on here to talk about, because he's only been to one motorcycle rally, and he's from around here, and it was Daytona. So I try to get his take on it, and he's never been to Laconia, so it's like, and he's from here,
and he's never been to Laconia Bike Week.
Nope. So.
He's anti-Laconia Bike Week?
No, he just got spoiled by going to Daytona first.
Okay. Well, just like the few guys I knew, their first big rally was Sturgis.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah.
And I'm like, well, now everything from now on is going to be a letdown, because you've come to what I would say is probably one of the best riding. Now, there's great riding across the country. We know that. But as far as a rally with riding, Sturgis, okay, Sturgis and Laconia, I think, run neck and neck. I have to put that out there. And I know you live there, so you get to ride a lot of those roads a lot, but there are places you probably go and be like, I've rode this thing 100 times, but it's still like the first time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the riding around here is great. I definitely do not get sick of the mountain riding. Like I said, there's Bear Notch Road up through Franconia Notch and everything. It is one of the best roads. I could go up and back and forth, you know, all day long, and you see something different, and it's just. Mm-hmm.
Was that the one where we saw you saw the deer in the ditch and I didn't?
Oh, no, that was close to here. Okay. That was close to my house, but that's called King's Highway. That's a good road too.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, right out your front door.
Yeah, so it's not too bad. I can appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, okay, moving on. Is riding season over where you live?
They're talking about the four-letter word Tuesday night into Wednesday. So, and we've already got like a dusting where they salted the roads. So,
Yeah. So pretty much when they salt the roads, it's over, isn't it?
Yeah, and plus for me, I've always been it's got to be warm for me to go out and ride. I don't know. I just for some reason, if I have to bundle up like you said and be the Michelin man. It kind of takes the joy out of it for me. Like, I'm freezing. My fingers are cold. I'm not having fun in the moment. I'm sure after the fact that, you know, talking about it, it'll be fun. But,
We've been on short trips, you know, in the winter here. And at the moment, no, it was not fun. You were bundled up. You couldn't turn right or left. It was dangerous. And then you laughed about it later on. Or you got called out and it got, you know. Here it was 64 today, and I had tons of things at work to do, and I was like, I need to go home and grab the bike, and I was like, but it'll be dark in an hour, so it didn't work out. So hopefully, coming up Thanksgiving, it will. But yeah, I mean, I have the heated gear. I have the FXRG Harley Davidson jacket with the liner in it. I even have a late 90s Harley Davidson suit that's heated.
Jeez.
And I have worn it. I made a trip, oh gosh, it's probably 3 or 4 years ago, and it was about 3 hours from my house, and I'm like, well, you know what, leaving is going to be cold and the middle of the day is going to be fine. It's going to be in the mid 50s, 60s. I won't need all this. I'll just need a bigger jacket. And then coming home, I'm like, we're going to need, you know, some heat. And it was okay. It's just bulky. Yes, you are the Michelin man. So what is the cutoff? You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh man, 30 degrees, I'm out. Oh. 50 degrees, I'm out. I'm going to say mid 50s. You know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's
back, maybe.
65 degrees for me. I don't know if it's because so many times when I was younger on my night train, I'd just jump on with a t-shirt, go out for a ride, end up staying out somewhere too late, having dinner, and then just freezing my ass off on the way home. Like, cause I had no sweatshirt. And then, you know, when I got the Road Glide, I figured I'll always be prepared. And yeah, I still don't take advantage of it.
Yeah. We'll see here. I mean, it has not gotten cold here yet. We've had some, like, overnight in the mid-30s, because I had to go out here and turn my heat on in my pump house to keep my well and all my everything there all nice and warmed up. But the ground is still warm down here. So, I mean, literally today, I had the air on in the truck when I went into town.
Yeah, see, I
had a short-sleeve shirt on.
I'm looking at the weather right now. At 2 a.m., it's going to be 21 degrees here.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm not riding in 21 degrees.
No. So, like I said, 65 degrees is with no wind is my – I mean, I guess I would ride from, you know, a little ways. But if you dress for it, like you said, it's not bad, but you just feel like you're so restricted.
Well, I'm just looking here. It is, what, 59 right now, and it's starting to rain.
Okay.
So no one's riding. But by the end of the week, we're going to be in the mid 50s, but with the sun shining, I would take off and do an hour, you know, no, you know, 30 to 45 minutes one way, knowing that that's the time that I'm going to allow myself to get back and be home before dark.
Yeah. I was talking with Bob, thinking, I was saying we should take off and go to, I was thinking Maryville, Tennessee. Is it Maryville?
Yeah, Maryville, yes.
Yeah, Maryville, Tennessee. And just stay somewhere around there, maybe do the little bit of the tail of the dragon. Because their average temperature in December is like 59 degrees, I was reading.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they can have the same weather that we do down here. I mean, it will hit. I've actually been there the week of Thanksgiving, and it hit 70.
Yeah, so that would be perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a toss. Now, the further south you go, of course, the weather gets better, but the riding is not so great.
Yeah. How far away is Maryville from your house?
A little over 2 hours.
Oh, really? Okay, so if we went there, you could meet us.
Yeah, yeah, it's not far at all.
All right.
But then you could get up there, and it's 50 here, and it's 21 there.
Yeah.
you just never know. And if you follow the, what is it called? I forget the Facebook page. The guy that takes, Killboy, that takes all the pictures.
Oh, with the tail of the dragon, yep.
He does, and it's been a few years ago, but he takes his drone, and he flew it over the dragon when it had snowed. And there was no tracks or nothing because it snowed pretty good bit up there. Because that's pretty good high elevation. So yep. They do get over there. And it was so cool. I mean, and he went through the curves and did an aerial view. It was pretty neat.
Nice.
Killboy, I think it's just Killboy on Facebook. He does the pictures. You know, he sets up in the corners and all that. Yep. I don't know if you follow his page. He's on Instagram.
Yeah, I think I do. I've seen his stuff.
But, I mean, okay, for probably 3 years in a row, it was in the 70s, you know, mid-60s to 70s on New Year's Day. So our New Year's Day ride was, you know, a jacket.
Yeah.
So, you know, we started it at, say, 10 o'clock and rode for about 2 hours and then went somewhere and ate. And then, you know, you try to get back because, of course, it gets dark. You know, we're at like 5 o'clock now. I think 5:15 is when the sun went down here today. But, yeah, riding it, but there are some people, maybe somebody out there listening to us now that says, I don't care how cold it is. I have all the gear. I'm putting on everything and I'm riding.
Yeah.
Hey, more power to you. But again, you know, once the salt, like where you live, is down on the road, that right there, I mean, could you ever get all the salt off your bike if you rode it?
Yeah, it would take a while. Plus, it's not the salt, it's the sand all over the road. So it's,
yeah.
And the pavement's cold. So it's just slippery. It's dangerous.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, it's not ideal. Your fingers don't move as fast as they should. So,
yeah, it's not. Yeah. I mean, your riding season is about to the end. You know, you're getting the dust and they've already put the salt down. So, that puts you in the garage.
Yep, in the garage. The FXI is already up on the lift. It's just, I'm just waiting because we, you know, sometimes we could get a 60 degree day where I could take a blast, but it's not looking good this year. So the bike is up on the lift, and I got a bunch of parts that I'm gonna spend a few days out there in the garage and work on it. But I'm just waiting because I don't want to be bored all winter.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do it all in one night. So, okay, last time we were on, we talked about you'd gotten a primary. What else have you got?
I got a primary. I got a new shift alloy art shift linkage.
Oh, okay.
And I de-golded the bike. In the decals. But, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my thrashing pegs used to be gold. The shocks used to be gold. So they're all like a raw aluminum polished look now.
You took the gold off?
Yeah, it was just the gold anodized.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot easier to take off. It was You know, oven cleaner, easy off oven cleaner.
Just really,
just soaked them in that, and then it white the gold just wiped right off.
No way.
Yeah, it was real easy to do. It was pretty cool.
I never would have. I thought the anodizing was kind of like powder coat.
No, the anodizing, it comes off pretty easily, especially, well, the thrashing pegs. I let it sit there in there for maybe 10 minutes after I sprayed them down and pulled them out, just took a rag and wiped it right off.
Okay, so now they're like a raw finish.
Yeah, so just like, you know, if you'd buy them in a raw finish, that's what they look like.
Okay.
It changed up a little bit, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And he said, "Do you possibly we're gonna?" No, that was the salt. I was thinking of bars. You said you were going to do different bars, but that was on the shovel head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I got some. So I got 8-inch risers on the FXI right now. 8-inch power plant risers.
Mm-hmm.
So I had ordered some 6-inch risers with a Harley top clamp.
Okay.
It's a gold, I mean, not gold, chrome Harley top clamp with, you know, the ones just got the little barn shield in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ordered some of those. I might test fit those on it.
Okay.
And then I got the primary to do, then change all the oil, the fluids. And I'm going to try to get my, I got the moon's headlight with the turn signals integrated.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try. I tried for one afternoon. Me and Bob tried. We couldn't get them to work. I got the old ones working, but I can't get the new ones because the old ones were 2 wires, and the ones in the headlights only 1 wire.
Okay.
And I got 4 wires coming out for the turn signals. I think I tried every single, you know, scenario, and we just couldn't get them to work. So.
Yeah, when it gets into wiring, that's above. Yeah, it's above me. I'm not. Yeah, you're brave. I'm not going to be stripping wires and pulling wires.
Yeah,
you would hit the right turn signal and the horn would blow.
Yeah, well.
If I did it.
I at the end of it, I was just glad my headlight worked and the brake light worked. That's all I care about.
That's when you could get a part-time job at the Harley shop during the winter. You could be like the sweeping guy. You could just sweep, you know, not have to really do much. And then you buddy up with the service guy back there, and the mechanic can be like, "Hey, if I bring in my FXR," and they're probably like, "We don't work on bikes at all."
Yeah. What year? No, come on.
Oh, no. No. But, they don't even teach that. That was a conversation I had with a guy Saturday. So there's a shop. It's a good ways from my house, but I was kind of in the area, and I'm like, I'm going to stop by because he's got some old, just cool stuff, pans, shovels. I mean, you name it, he's got it, but you have to pretty much jump around in the place because there's so many parts.
I've been in places like that.
And I love it. And I walk around there and I'm like, oh, I mean, I'll pick up something, and I bought all kinds of stuff. Just little trinkets that I had been wanting, which is an obsolete part, a detachable trunk rack for my Heritage, and I found one. I mean, I now have got to buy the docking hardware, but this is an obsolete part, and it was in great shape.
Perfect. And
I found some 100th anniversary stuff. I have bought some FXR parts in there. Yeah, it's just a cool place, and we were talking about, you know, if you went down to the Harley shop, that majority of them are not going to work on carburetors, or, you know, say if you pulled in there with your FXR, they're going to look at you and be like, we don't have any parts for that bike. They may have a battery.
Yeah.
They got some oil and an oil filter.
That's about it.
That's about it. I mean, any, I'm sure, you know, brake pads. A belt. I'm trying to think of something else, you know, that fits multiple years. You know, very few. I mean, the FXR is, and while we're talking about this, is I'm back on FXRs and I want another one. I've always wanted another one since I sold my last one. It's just I got on to this and that, but
so you're yeah, that, you're in the market for an FXR.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Right. I really am. And okay, so we always talk about this on the podcast marketplace. That's where you find things now, or these little groups that you're in.
Yeah, but the little groups that you're in, it's like you never find someone that's near you with the deal.
No, they're in California.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 10 hours away.
Yep.
You know, I mean, nothing, very rarely do you find something close. But, you know, you look and you see what you see. And what I have noticed, and it's funny. So right now, a touring bike, late model, I'm talking about 2021. When I say late model on that, or a Dyna not more than 7 or 8 years old, you can pick those up for, I say, reasonably priced. That I'm like, wow, that's a deal for somebody that's looking for. I mean, I saw a 2018 Road Glide, and I saved it, and I'm like, this thing will be gone in 2 days. It was black. There was a pretty good bit of stuff on it. 2-into-1 pipe. It had a cool seat. I can't remember if it was a Saddleman. It was something pretty cool. Already had bars, and it had a headlight, and it was like $17,000 with like 9,000 miles. And I'm like, that is a deal. If you are looking for that bike, it's already done. All you got to do is go buy it. You don't have to. You know, if you wanted that, those bars, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things to throw out there, but pretty good deal. A lot of stuff has already been done for you. Low miles, you know, and, you know, me, well, I look at the pictures and I look in the background if the garage is immaculate, you know, the guy took care of the bike. And the pictures were great. And this is probably, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And I saved it, and I'm like, yeah, that thing will be gone. And it was still there, and it was still there, and it's still there. And I'm like, nobody wants to jump on that. I mean, I'm not in the market for that, but what I'm in the market for is an FXR. And if you price those right now, oh, my goodness, they're out there.
Yeah, well, there's a few that are reasonably priced, but they don't, you know, they don't have the original paint. They're kind of... Yeah. Like you said, they're a little rough, but they, you know, you can make them your own.
Yeah. But well, think about that. So we're just going to throw out a number here. Say I went and paid $3,000 for one. Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk about the one I sent you. That was the 91 FXLR, which is a low rider custom.
Yep.
Okay. It did not have original paint, did not have the original rear wheel. It did still have a 21 front. It had a wide glide front end on it. Did not have the original bars. It didn't have the side covers. It was a ELL van because he did send me that. And actually, I have a way, but a friend of mine looked it up for me, and it was sold brand new in Texas. That's about all you can tell is where it originally came from, what it was in the original color. It was black with the gold pinstripe. So it was, you know, wasn't a red or any of the cool different colors.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there looking at the bike. I talked to the guy. We, you know, he sent me a couple bunch more pictures. You know, I sent those to you. And I'm looking at it, and then I start adding up. I'm like, well, I need to change this. I'm going to change that. Okay, I've got that part. You know, and the next thing you know, there's $3,000 worth of parts you need to get.
Yeah, just to make it so you'd want to ride it.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well then why don't you just put that with, you know, your budget and then buy something that you don't have to do anything to.
Yeah, that know? I just opened up Marketplace and I see a 1992 Daytona Edition Dyna.
Really?
Yeah.
Close by your house?
Yep. Yeah, it's so he had it listed for $6,000, and he just dropped the price to $3,800.
You need to go buy that.
It's got 16,000 miles on it. Bike is beautiful. Needs a belt and it has a bent shift fork. And that's it. The rest of the bike is beautiful.
Okay. I mean, if all the tens are there and they're not beat to death, and it's not, you know, if either side is dented, you cannot get that decal anymore.
Yeah, no, the tank is in perfect shape. The tens are perfect.
Okay. Paint's fairly easy. Decal's impossible.
Yeah.
Parts, Dyna parts, you can still get those. That's not a bad deal. Because I sold mine for twice plus more.
Yeah, I mean, a bent shift fork, that's not horrible. But that's another thing. You can never go by with what they say, you know?
Yeah, of course, of course. But this still has the gold wheels?
Yep, still has the gold wheels.
You need to jump all over that as a flip for next spring.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, because they're only made 1,500 of those bikes.
Really? I didn't know it was that low.
Oh, yeah. Is there pictures of the number? What number it is?
I think
if it's the first 500, it's not worth any more. It's just, you know, pretty cool because it only had the like one after 500, the number plate on it was different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think mine was 300 and something.
Oh, so you had a low one?
Yeah, mine was pretty low. Mine was owned by, it was bought and in the shop of a dealer. He was the owner of the dealership, and it was his bike. And I got it from the guy who retired there, worked at that dealership, which is long gone now. And that's how I acquired it, because I got some of the paperwork with it.
Okay.
Yeah, those are awesome bikes. Very few do you see out in the wild.
Yeah, you definitely don't see a lot of them, that's for sure.
No, I mean, there's... you know, there's one in, well, I know where a few are. There's three I know of in Daytona. One at the Harley shop, one at the downtown Harley shop, the t-shirt place, one across the street from the Speedway in the museum at the hotel. There's one in Milwaukee. I'm trying to think. I was at another dealership and the guy had one sitting up somewhere in Illinois. I mean, again, there's 1,500 of them. How many are still left and on the road? I do know where a complete paint set is.
Really?
Or for sale. No, I'm not going to say where it is. Because I've always, and it's a place that I really like to go to when I'm in a certain town. I always go by there and look at it.
Is that the place you sent me to?
Huh?
Is that the place you sent me to?
That's a place that we both like to go.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Remember I was down Myrtle Beach and you sent me to a place?
No, it's not there.
Okay.
No, this is at a cool little shop that I bought some other cool little things at before.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
if you listen to this podcast, you know what we're talking about. Yeah, you need to jump all over that. I mean, I'm kind of interested in that, but I've had one.
Yeah, true.
And not to say that not having an FXR or having, I mean, I just like them. They're cool. I like original paint. I like the older bikes. That's why me and Brian get along so well, is the things that we like. I mean, now granted, your FXR is not original paint, but it's a takeoff of an original.
Yeah, I agree. I tried to make it look original.
Yeah. And I think I sent you an original paint set that's for sale that I'm probably just going to go have to buy. Even though I don't have the bike yet, I'm just going to buy it just to have.
Yep.
They're just cool bikes. I mean, anything. Now, granted, new bikes are cool. I think that new CVO is unbelievable. And to ride that would be, I mean, you just get on it and go. You know, not worrying about anything. And this takes us into our next thing. We'll come back to FXRs in a minute, but old bikes, older bikes, we'll say. Would you trust your bike is a 93?
Correct. Yep.
Would you jump on it and ride to Daytona if the weather was perfect?
I mean, yes, I would, but it would definitely, it would be a 4-day trip.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, I rode to New York.
Yeah.
Did even that night.
500 mile day, didn't you do that?
Yep. Yeah. So, and
it can be done. And there are guys that ride them cross country. I'm not saying that can't be done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a little sore after my ride, but I think I could ride it cross country. I used to have the fear of, you know, thinking, what happens if I break down and, you know, nowhere, middle of nowhere, blah, blah, blah. What am I going to do? Like, nowadays, I just call someone, search for a shop nearby. You know, like, I think that worry of my, you know, worrying about that is over. I think I would ride it anywhere.
Okay. No, I mean, and like, my 88 Electric Glide. So it was a semi-restoration. All of the paint was redone on it, and the whole top end was redone. It only had like, I don't know, 30,000 miles, but it was rough. It'd been, you know, neglected here and there, but like swing arm bearing, all that replaced. Wheels, brand new. Top end, everything, new voltage regulator, everything was pretty much, other than splitting the cases and doing any of that, the guy that did it for me took the cylinders off, and he's like, hey man, they're great. Showed them to me, he's like, we'll paint them. And we replaced the solenoid, that goofy fork thing on those old FLs or any of those old Evos, you know, that stupid starter shaft. You know what I'm talking about?
On the fork?
On the starter shaft that pushes into the primary. There's this fork thing. And I'm no mechanic. I know what I'm looking at when I see it.
Okay.
But mine messed up two or three times. It left me stranded in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. Well, did I ever tell you that story about when we were in Daytona? Edwin had his shovel head. So we were both riding shovel heads this year in Daytona. We had just cruised the loop. We were cruising around. We stopped at a couple of 7-Elevens. And we were just cruising. And then we stopped at one of the gas stations down there. And I went in, grabbed some sweet tea. He probably had some Slim Jims.
Coffee.
Yeah, no, whatever. And so we came out. I start up my bike, and he starts his bike up, and the starter just kept going.
Yes.
And it just kept trying to start it for, I mean, I thought his bike was going to catch on fire and blow up. It did it until the battery died, because he had one of those solo LaPera seats where the big Allen screws go right into the side of the frame.
Oh gosh.
So we couldn't get the seat off. You know, it didn't matter. You could pull the spark plugs. It didn't matter what you pulled off.
Yeah, because it's sitting there engaging itself because it has power.
Yeah, and I swear, I stood away from it. I really thought it was going to catch on fire. But it finally died. The battery died after, it felt like an hour. But so the old starters on those old shovels and those old Evos, they were definitely prone for disaster.
Yeah, they were. And I replaced two of those solenoids, starter solenoids, but mine, the bolts had backed out. If you can think of this in your mind, so you're standing on the right side of the motorcycle looking in to where the starter, and right above it is the starter solenoid, and there's two screws, and it bolts into the top of the primary.
Okay, yep, I can picture it.
Well, I had stopped, and I don't know what made me look, but I looked down, and I'm like, those bolts are backing out. And I'm like, great, I'm on a trip to Myrtle Beach, spring or fall. At the moment, I can't remember. And I'm like, okay. This is probably my third or fourth trip on this bike, so. And I thought I'd worked out all the bugs. And I'm like, okay. And I happened to be at a gas station. I walked in. I was like, any tools? Here's, and we'll get back to what's in your saddlebag. I need to carry a tool kit, yeah. but
yep.
And like, no, but there is an Advanced Auto, and I look up and it's almost across the street. So I'm like, okay, I just walked over there. And I'm like, hey, you got any of the, I can borrow the tools? The guy's like, yeah, man, there's a cart, take what you need. So I grabbed a few, went over there. And I get it all tight, and I'm like, okay, I think we're good. And I'm like, I'm just going to get a little bit more snug on that.
I know where this is going.
And I'm like, and I'm probably 60 miles from Myrtle at the time. And I'm like, man. I was like, okay, it's not coming out as we know right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I held my breath and I rode all the way down there and it's fine. And it fired right up every single time on the rest of the trip down there. Cause I, for some reason I had to stop once or twice more. It may have rained or something. It did. I had to stop for rain. I was kind of worried about that. So I pull in to the, when I get to Myrtle Beach, I pull in, cut the bike off, unload it. And I'm like, I hope you start. And when I hit the starter, I heard it. And I looked down and it had sheared itself off.
Ugh.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm stuck. At the moment, my phone starts ringing and I look down. It's a friend of mine and he's there. And I'm like, well, you know what? You're going to have to come get me because my bike just broke. And he's like, well, lucky for you, mine did too. And I came in the truck with another friend of ours and the trailer.
Oh, perfect.
So I'm like, okay. So we rode around the rest of the week there in the truck and I made it home. But yeah, so, you know, Myrtle Beach to my house is not that far. I could have called somebody, happened, my buddy was in the same town, but I could have called somebody back home, they would have come got me. It's 250 miles.
Yeah.
What if I'm 850 miles?
Yeah, 800, that's a little different story. That's that you yeah, gotta
who, who's it. Coming to get you when you broke down 850 miles from home?
So
yeah. I mean, now, you were in Daytona and you were a long way, but you had your truck and trailer close by.
Yes, yeah. A couple of years ago when I had the Cop Glide down there, I definitely was having some trouble. But it never left me stranded. It just...
You held your breath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
But you know, when you love and you ride old bikes, that's part of it. That's the territory that you ride in. And, you know, it makes for fun trips and stories on podcasts, you know, later. But at the moment... It doesn't. I mean, yeah. Is it nice to walk out in the garage and jump on, you know, you got your Road Glide is a 08. Mine is a 15. You hit the button, boom, down the road you go. Yeah. Things go wrong when you bikes. They're machines.
Yeah.
Things are going to break. Things wear out. But 9 out of 10 times, you're going to start, you're going to go. And if you keep up maintenance on your bike, it's going to serve you well.
Exactly.
That's how I feel. Bike. Here's another thing. Riding the older bikes that I have, I got to remember that they stop like 1995, like my Heritage. They don't stop like that, you know, 15 with the ABS. You can't get out on the highway and run 90 miles an hour. You can. It's just, it's a little hairy.
Yeah, it's not as comfortable.
No, it's not. So you got to back down and... You take the long way, you know, on the older bike. So that's just my take on that. But what do you think about this? I find me FXR. I get it all dialed in. And we do Daytona on FXRs.
Yeah, I'm liking this.
Well, you are. You already said you're bringing your FXR to Daytona.
Yeah, definitely.
And, I'm going to ride mine. Hopefully I find one that, you know, will suit and fit my needs and I can get it all dialed in and roadworthy and get me there and back. But then throughout 24, we make FXR trips.
Yep. All right. I'm liking that. What about, what if you, what if we met at Savannah Harley Davidson and rode FXRs from there?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm getting to for, you know, for Daytona next year. And anybody that wants to ride with us, you know, can ride. I mean, Daytona's a, everybody from the Northeast is wanting to get out of the snow and the salt and come down and get a suntan for Daytona. But here's what else I thought. That we meet halfway. Halfway is somewhere in Pennsylvania. And we just ride old motorcycles, whether it be FXRs or Old Heritage or whatnot. And we just see how many two-lane roads we can conquer in a weekend.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that during the summer months you're talking, right?
Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah. You know, coming up, and we'll do an episode coming up, probably the end of the year, our end of the year wrap-up about what fun we had in 23 and what we'd look like on the horizon. But, you know, I've been looking at all the dates of the rallies and looking at reservations and stuff like that. And I just want to ride. Not that I'm going to get away from going to rallies, but it seems like you make a point to be at or go to the rally, whether it be Daytona, Sturgis, Myrtle, you know, what have you. But there are some other smaller rallies and other things that are really not on the radar that you would have just as much fun. Like, there's one that it just happened. It's a rally. I think it's going to get bigger and it's going to get real big. Is the bike week up in Smoky Mountain?
I saw a bunch of people there. That looked pretty cool. And yeah. Marcus? What's the one he got? The Panama City bike week.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Panama. It's in Florida, and there's nothing wrong with Florida. I love Florida. There's no riding. If you think there's no riding in Daytona, there's what we would consider riding. Okay. There's places you can ride to. That's more of a party atmosphere. You could probably hit within 3 hours in the evening. You could probably hit 6 or 8 hot spots.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's jump back to Daytona this coming year.
Yeah.
Do you have a place to stay?
I do.
Okay. All right. So
me and you had talked about, because you were wanting to stay over there with me.
Yeah, well, I think that's changed. So, but we'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
But Yeah.
I already got my spot.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if you had a spot because we got a spot. All right. Anyway, so what if we met up at the Savannah Harley Davidson? I like that idea and riding in, because you know what? I've been going to Daytona for 15 plus years, and every single year, I say to whoever I'm going with, it's usually the same person. We know who he is.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, you know what? When we get to Georgia, I'm unloading my bike and I'm riding. And I've yet to do it.
Well, see, that's what I did this year.
I know.
I left late and I parked everything at Savannah and rode. It's 202 miles. And I actually went straight down the highway for time's sake.
Yeah. But
from there, it will be an awesome ride.
Yeah, I think we should meet up there. You leave your truck there. Yep. I'll unload my bike, and then whoever I'm with can just drive my truck and, you know, and follow us or something. I just want to ride.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's some cool spots. And again, Daytona's not a hotbed of riding, but I mean, it is. It's the kickoff rally.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. We met there. I think it was my first big rally. I think it was your first big rally. So it's something that, you know, it's like, you know, the whole buildup. Oh man, you know, winter's hard. Oh, it's snowing. It's dark. We ain't seen the sun in forever for you.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. That's why it's so big for the Northeasterners. That's like, you know, guys in Texas and stuff like that. They ride all year round. So it's really not a big deal to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guys in California, you know, you follow or see anything people riding in California, they have a sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
In December, January, you know, in certain parts of California. So we, you know, but yeah, we will definitely put that down on the docket to do. But getting back to FXRs again, I've had this on my mind Since I sold my last one, I always look at them. I'm always curious. You know, there may be a couple days here and there when I get busy and don't jump on it, but, you know, for the most part. But what, and you've always been into them, and I have too. Anything cool and, you know, has that kind of a quotation marks cult following. What is it about the FXR that you like and what makes it cool?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Well, it's our podcast. We can talk about anything and as long as we want to.
Yes. Well, I mean, just the FXR to me is just, there's so many different styles that you can make an FXR and they all look cool to me. You know, club style, drag style, just original, any other kind of style. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think it's the frame. I'm attracted to the frame. It's that triangle on the frame.
It gets me every time. Either, and I like both. I like the full cover, and I like the short cover with the chrome on the bottom. I like them both. Either one is cool to me.
Yeah. I swear, it's like I see a bike, I see the triangle, and I just automatically get attached to it. It's like, yeah, like there's this one route that I take when I'm driving the dump truck, and there's this pond, and it's shaped like a triangle. And every time I drive by, it's not a big pond, it's small, but it's shaped like a triangle. And every time I drive by it, makes me think of FXRs.
You call it the FXR pond.
Yeah, it's I almost took a picture of it the other day and sent it to someone and said, "Does this remind you of anything?"
No, I said the FXR side cover. No, they're just cool. And then, you know, the FXR tour that came up. And for some reason, I guess your algorithms in your YouTube and the Instagram, now you just see picture after picture after picture. And if you get on the FXR, Dynatrader, and all those things on Facebook, and you get in there and start looking at the pictures and maybe you like one, then all of a sudden it becomes your feed.
Oh, for sure.
So every time you get on there, it pops up, and I forget about that. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool bike. Oh, that dude got a deal on that thing. And or you see, there was a guy that posted up, it was a year to the day that he bought his Liberty Edition. And he put up all the pictures of him buying it and then all the way through him kind of doing a little small restoration on it. I was like, that's cool. And he went to Sturgis.
Nice.
Then, like, in the middle of it, there was a picture of the bike in Sturgis. I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I feel like you just get more respect when you're on an FXR for some reason because, like, I tell you that story, so... I was riding my FXR, and I forget what my buddy was riding. But we're just cruising around here. We went up to Seacoast Harley-Davidson to check out the new Lowrider ST. So it was back when they were first coming out.
Yeah.
And I pull up on my FXR. I park it out front. I'm in there talking to the salesman, and he's, you know, I'm looking at the ST, and he's talking to me. He's like, well, what do you ride now? And I said, oh, I got a Road Glide, and I got an FXR that I'm on right now. And he's like, you got an FXR? He's like, I love those. And he's like, I got an FXR. So he starts showing me pictures on his phone of his FXR.
Yeah.
Then he's like, let's go outside. Let's look at your FXR. So we're out there, you know, we're just talking about FXRs. And he's like, you know what? Come with me. You're going to love this. So he brings me out. So Seacoast Harley-Davidson, they're known for having all the police bikes. All the police bikes come through there and get their decals put on. It's like the police bike spot.
Yeah, because I'm not interrupting you, but when I stopped there when I was in Laconia, they had a police motors training class out back.
Yeah, so it is like the police bike headquarters.
Yeah.
So he's like, you're going to love this. Come out here. So we walk out. We don't just walk through the parking lot. He brings me through the service department, through the back. Hey, everybody, look at this. You know, Brian, hey, I'm going to go show him some FXRs. It's like, you know. I'm a celebrity all of a sudden, riding FXR. So we walk through the back, and then we go to the far barn. And we start walking through, and I'm like, the first thing I see is like this brand new looking, it was an old Ultra police bike, like from a city near us. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And they got them stacked. So they're on the bottom and they're stacked on the top. It's two layers of bikes.
Wow. Just,
yeah, from one side, you know, all wrapped around this whole building. So he brings me all the way down to the end and he says, look up right there. And it was, I think it was a 1991. I forget the year, but it was a FXRP and it had like 7 miles on. He said it never got leased out to a city or a town. And it's just been sitting in this barn for who knows how long.
Oh my God.
It had 7 miles on it. I'm looking at it like it looked, the motor, it looked brand new. You know, because you know what I just learned? Because I always wonder why, like, the Evo motors, the black is always wrinkles, it always fades. But yes. So, like, and then I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, it's got to be paint. Because Harley Davidson wasn't powder coating motors back then. And I'm like, when did Harley Davidson start powder coating motors? Do you know?
I think I watched the same video you did.
Yeah.
But the shop that I go in, it's changed names and it's a new dealer now, but they've been a dealer since 65. And there's a guy that's been working there forever. His name's Bert and he's in parts. And we used to talk about this. Yeah, they painted the motors. So they came out what they would call blonde or cast, the cast color.
Okay, yeah. Which I don't mind that.
Yeah, oh, I love it. And then, and I cannot remember why, but they started painting the motors, but not the, is it the lower? I can't remember. God, I'd have to go back and ask it. But yeah, it was paint. And then they started powder coating sometime in like 94, 95.
That's exactly what I think it was. Yeah, because so like the inner primary on my FXR is it's just paint, and that's why it's just not holding up over the time.
Yeah, because the powder coat holds up tremendously.
Yes. But all right.
While we're talking about that, do you like the? Because sometimes you'll see a cylinder painted black, and then the head is cast color. You know, the bead blast, you know, gray, so to speak.
Yeah. Call it.
Or do you like everything from the motor, the cylinder, up, all black?
Well, it depends. Like, so, I mean, I don't mind a black motor, and I don't mind the blonde motor, but I don't like it mixed together.
Yeah. I see what you say.
So, like, on my FXI right now, it's like the right side of my motor is all chrome, rocker boxes, the cone, the transmission cover, everything's chrome over there. And then on the other side, my primary is black, soon to be chrome. But so if it's all black, I don't mind it. If it's all blonde, I don't mind it. Some people don't like the blonde motors. I like it because the blonde motor, it matches the blonde 9 spokes or 13 spokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I like all that.
Yeah.
I'm still running the stock lower legs on my Road Glide because it matches all of my other stuff. And I do have some chrome here and there, but I just like that look. It's a machined, you know, I don't know. I just think it's a cool look. I do love chrome, but.
Yeah, chrome is coming back. I love it. Oh, I think that's what we were talking about. I have some 9 spokes that I'm going to get repowder coated like a.
That's right. Okay.
Like a blonde color. To put on my FXR. So that might be done for Daytona too. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Cause you're saying you're going to get away from the orange wheels.
Yeah. But it's funny though. The more I take off the gold, the more I don't mind the orange wheels, but the orange wheels are just not original looking.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Like when you see a Dyna, it's got purple wheels.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or yellow.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing, and I know I sent this to you, the John Deere FXR? Do you remember that?
Is it the same John Deere that's at Daytona every year? Is that an FXR? Do you know what?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Solid yellow wheels.
Yes, and green, and it's got the John Deere emblems on the tank. I can't remember what model that is. Yeah, I, if I'm not mistaken, it kind of runs together, but I think I saw that when I was down there in October.
Yeah, well, it's parked on the same spot every year, and it doesn't move.
Yes, kind of across the street from Froggy somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, I'm sure I saw it. And there is another bike. I hadn't seen it in a few years. It's the International.
Oh, yep.
Tractor, white and red.
Yep.
It's got all the emblems, and it's got these pipes with the, you're a trucker, you know, it's got the cap on it to where when it,
the rain cap?
Yeah. No. And it's cool. I mean, it's not me, but I appreciate the, everything that went into that.
Yeah.
That's like, you go to a bike show, and you see bikes, I would never write that's not me, but I still appreciate the look, all the work that went into this, and the creativity, I guess is the word.
Yeah, definitely. I still like it, but I'm still going to make fun of them, but I like it deep down. Yeah. All right, so that John Deere bike I was talking about, it looks like it's in a soft tail frame. It's got the solid yellow wheels. It's a soft tail.
All right. Okay. Oh, you found a picture of it.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a FXR, and it stayed on Marketplace forever, but it was all John Deere'd out.
Yeah. Well, you can keep that.
But there's actually one, I think I sent it to you. It's a nice paint job. It's just yellow. And when I say yellow, school bus yellow.
Oh,
which, yep. The FXR2 that's yellow and the red and the blue.
Okay, yep.
I think I really like that one.
Yep.
Those are, man, the price. They're still at that 12, 13 grand.
Yeah, they're not moving. There's a tangerine one up here. Remember, it was still for sale when I was talking to you. I remember it was 11,000 then. I think it's down to 8,500 now.
Oh, they didn't make many of those.
I know. That 365 of the tangerine ones.
Yep. I will know more about FXRs tomorrow because my FXR Bizarre book should be here.
Yeah. Did you order it right from his site?
Yep. I actually sent him a message.
Oh, okay. So he still has them. That's awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He has a few.
Okay.
There's the limited edition one, and then there's the regular one.
Yep.
So I got the regular one because I'm going to look at it. I'm going to open the pages. Going to put my hands all over it. I mean, I think it, and he's been on a lot of podcasts. You look him up. His name is Nick with the FXR Bizarre on Instagram. He has done interviews with the engineers, people that worked at the motor company then. It's probably the most complete FXR history from start to finish ever.
Yeah, you are definitely going to learn some things in there that you didn't know, and it's pretty cool. That's why I always say, like, if something breaks on my FXR, I learn all about it, that part. You know, I learn how to put it in, take it out, what it fits, blah blah blah. It's just like that's the fun of motorcycles to me.
Oh yeah, that's. They're so fun. That's why we do this podcast. And if you've listened this far, thank you. We've just rambled on about nonsense, but.
What do you mean nonsense? So we're talking FXRs, not nonsense. Jesus. Well, let me finish my Seacoast.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we look at that bike, and he had a few other FXRs in there, but that reminds me. He gave me his card. You know, he wanted to go ride FXRs. I never called him. So
you need to reach out to that guy.
Yeah, I gotta get him. I wonder if how salesmen are. They don't last long sometimes at the dealership. Yeah. So he might not even still be there, but I'm gonna go check.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's funny you say that because every single dealership has that one guy that's been there since the 60s and
everything, knows part numbers, doesn't have to look it up. Yeah.
Yeah, just knows everything.
Yeah, talking about that. So, I told you, I think I talked about it in the last podcast, I had a gas leak on my Heritage.
Yep.
The 95 Nostalgia. As I walked in the garage, I'm like, that smells like gas. And yes, I see it just dripping everywhere. So I take it down to CNC Thunder because they work on my bike. The carburetor's leaking. You know, it's just, it's a, again, above, I'm not a mechanic. I'm not going to tear nothing up if I don't touch it. You know that? You can work on a lot of things. I can bolt on and unbolt, but it comes to, you know, carburetors and stuff like that. That's just way above me. And I'm going to take it to somebody that I trust and I know they're going to do a great job, and that's why I go to CNC Thunder. So I take it down there, and they fix it, and I talk to Rusty, and he's like, you know, now we have a drip every so often out of the petcock. And I'm like, really? And he's showing it to me, and I'm like, well, that's the original petcock. I'm like, oh, I'm sure that's obsolete. And he's like, no, that is not obsolete. It's been superseded 15 million times with the part number, but sure enough, I was like, okay, I'll be back in a minute. And he's like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going to the Harley shop because I'm getting one. Because I'm not putting on a Chinese one, or, and they didn't even recommend that. They're like, yeah, let's put on a good one. And so I go over to the Harley shop. Hey, it could be made in China, but, you know, who knows?
But you bought it at the Harley shop.
But I bought it at the Harley shop. It was 180. And so I walk in, and I'd look the part number up on my phone because you can go to Harley's website and go to OEM parts. And some burp behind the counter. I'm like, well, this is what I'm looking for. And I rattle off the part number, and he just looks at me and walks off. And he goes back in the parts room and comes back, and he has one. I'm like, oh, you had that? He goes, man, we keep these. And so it got put on, and the Heritage is fine.
All right. So is the Heritage going to stay in the stable, or is that going to get sold off?
No, it's staying.
Okay.
It's a bike that I bought, and, you know, it's the 95 Nostalgia, the gray and black with the red pinstripe. And I know I've told this story on here, as I've had it 3 or 4 years, to where when I went back to pick it up and finalize the deal with the guy, he had made a lap in the yard his last voyage, and he put it in the ditch. Do you remember that?
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, then we had to, you know, okay, now it's a wreck bike, and there's issues. And so I buy it because I wanted it. It was a great bike. It come from Tilly's Harley Davidson, which is a pretty famous dealership, still in business up in North Carolina. And had a lot of the paperwork, and it wasn't completely, you know, I mean, he just fell over in the yard. But it got the tank and all that. And then I got the paint set that's on it now, the Peaches and Cream, from a friend of mine. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to run that set. And, you know, I had wheeled and dealed and bought this and traded this and bought this part and sold this part. And I'm down to where I don't have a lot of money in it. It's not, I mean, it'd be funny to tell you what I really have in it in actual cash. And it's just a cool bike. And I've actually ridden it a pretty good bit. I think I ride it 1,500 miles a year, probably.
Yeah.
200 miles a year.
So what happened to the original tins?
I still have them. So they went to the paint shop. They got all fixed, and they've never been painted. But so I got the rear fender is fine. It's original paint. But the front fender and the tanks are not. I still have the badges, because the nostalgia badges are a different badge. I still have those.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I will eventually, you know, I have that done just to have the set, but I don't think I'm going to sell it. It's too fun of a bike.
Yeah, it doesn't owe you anything. You might as well keep it.
No, I mean, and it's cool. You never see them. I've actually bought some more parts for it. Like I said, I found that obsolete tour box rack, and I actually have a tour box that will fit it, the leather style.
Nice. So, I'm looking forward to the swap meet down in Daytona.
We're going to pick a day and we're going.
Oh, and for that, sure.
You know, you're going to have your truck.
Yep.
So we can buy things. Yeah, I mean, I'm always down there on my bike, and I have to, if I buy something, it's got to fit in my pocket and go in the saddlebag.
Oh, yeah. If there's something big, we got the truck, so buy it.
Well, and I haven't talked to you since I come back from the swap meet. I didn't even put that in the notes. So went to the CBA swap meet, which is in North Carolina. It's 88 miles from my driveway.
Okay.
to the Rowan County Fairgrounds, the same place they have the smokeout.
Oh, all right.
And I went on Friday and I set up. And so leading up to that, it had been 79 degrees and sunny every single day for three straight weeks.
Okay.
Perfect weather. I'm talking perfect fall, southern South Carolina weather. Perfect. As I start to drive the 88 miles to the swap meet, it gets darker and darker and darker and colder. And by the time I get there, I'm throwing on a sweatshirt. I'm putting on my gloves. I'm hunting my beanie. It's the wind gets up. It's blowing 20 miles an hour, and it's 55 degrees. All within 3.5 hours. It's ridiculous. So I get set up on Friday night. I get a room close by with a friend of mine, and we go out and eat. And it's we're sitting there looking at the weather. And throughout the week, I'd watch the weather. And I'm like, oh, should I go? Should I not? And I'm like, I'm going to go regardless. Do I want to set up and sell? I was like, you know what? I have a good time. I meet people. I go and I see parts and I buy stuff. So we go. I set up. Get up next morning. I'm there at like 6:30. When it starts to sprinkle rain. And then it rains. It never hard rains. I mean, you could stand out in it. But till 1 o'clock it rained. On and off. On and off. So you would, everything I have is in boxes. I got it covered up. Well, as it quits raining, then I uncover everything. And by that time, people that were going to come, they're not coming. They got up. They saw it rain. They're like, ugh. I'm not going to, because it costs. So it costs $5 to park and $20 to get in the gate.
Huh.
So you're 25 in the hole walking in the door.
What? How much do they charge for you to vend?
$90.
$90?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're not real strict on the space that you get. We probably had three spots. But, you know, it is what it is. And I did okay. I sold a bunch of stuff that, you know, I kept the good stuff at home, like all my Illuminator stuff, you know, that I've collected for the FXR. I didn't take any of it.
Okay.
But like, oh, my nostalgia paint set that I sold it to a guy. Not at swap meet. A guy saw it on Marketplace.
I saw that. Oh, you did sell that. I saw that you posted it.
He hadn't picked it up. He's not picking it up for another few weeks because he lives somewhere in Tennessee. And he's working, I'm working. So he sent a deposit and we're going to meet up here in a few weeks and he's gonna take it. He has a collection of those bikes.
Okay. I had a Marketplace sale the other day, a couple weeks. Yeah, just the seat that came on the Road Glide original. The original, I don't even know if it was a Harley Davidson seat or not, but I don't think it was the stock seat, but it was a low, like a slim seat. It was pretty cool, but
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you wasn't using it. That money can go into something else. That's what, you know, I sold my old FXR seat with the latch.
Oh, okay.
Which it was the king and queen seat.
Yep.
I sold it. I was not going to use it. I should have kept the latch, but you know, it's stupid.
Yeah, those latches, they were expensive for a while, but they've come down.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I don't know, maybe me and you talked about this or we saw, I don't know. There was somebody making those?
I don't remember that.
On that? Okay. Maybe I dreamed that. but what's funny about the swap meet, so if you've ever been to a swap meet, I don't put prices on stuff. I'm like, what do you give me? Because, you know, they.
You're one of those guys?
$5 for it, and they offer me $25.
Yeah. I hate it when they don't put prices on it, though. It's like, okay.
No, I don't. I mean, I want a wheel and deal. And you want to meet people. That's how you interact with people. That's, you know, it comes with my salesman background.
Yeah. Well, I got a swap meet story for you. So, me and the voice of reason, right? It's the Keene swap meet. It's a huge, they do it spring and fall, huge motorcycle swap meet. It's probably the biggest one around. So we're walking around. This is back when we were into Shovelheads. So we see a little white pillion pad. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So it's a little white one, white leather. It's beat up. It's got the right patina on it. So,
get on a shovel.
Yeah, it's probably 4 inches, 5 inches wide. It'll fit on a shovel. And so Bob goes up, picks it up, and he's like, "What are you asking for this?" And he's like, "I don't know. What would you pay for it?" Or something like that. And Bob's like, "I don't know, just give me a price. What are you thinking?" And the guy's like, "Just show me a price, blah, blah, blah." And so Bob says, $5. And the guy almost lost his mind.
Yeah.
$5? And the guy, he went on and on for about 5 minutes screaming, like, "How about just giving me a price instead of making me throw a price out there?" That's
yeah, and they get mad about it.
Yeah, exactly. So he said five, and you don't. All right, you don't like that price. Come back at $90 or whatever you wanted to. But that was the funniest thing. He just, as soon as Bob said $5, the guy almost lost his mind.
Took his head. So, okay, I had my old tank off of my Road Glide. I'm not going to use it. I have another tank. If someone could use it, I would rather it go to someone that's going to do something with it and then go on and, you know, finish their project. And a guy walks up, he goes, "What do you want for the tank?" I said, "Make me an offer." He goes, "Well, I can't price your stuff." I'm like, "Whatever you offer, you're probably going to get it." And he's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And his buddy walks up, he goes, "Make him an offer." And he's like, "Well, I don't want to hurt his feelings." I'm like, "I'm selling used motorcycle parts. You think I got any feelings left?" I mean, look at the stuff. I mean, come on, look at me. I mean, I'm out here standing in the rain selling old motorcycle parts. Come on now. I mean, you think I really care? And the guy's like, "Man, I don't want to insult you. How's $20? And I'm like, "Sold." And the guy behind me, he goes, "I was going to say 50. And I'm like, "I should have talked to you first. I'm like, "But," he's like, "we're going to use it." And the guy picks it up. He's like, "Give the man his money." So he hands me the money. And I'm like, "I hope you use it." And there's like three or four of them. And the guy in the back, he goes, "It's actually for me. I just didn't want to come over here and get it."
Yep.
And another time, you know, one guy's like, "What do you want for that?" I'm like, "Do you need it? Do you want it?" He goes, "Oh, I need it for my bike." I'm like, "Make me an offer." He's like, $5. I'm like, "Sold. Take it. There. Go."
Yeah. See, you're a good seller. I mean,
it was stuff I was not, I went through and I still didn't go through all of it. I'm like, "These are the things I'm not going to use. I'm not," you know, I had that almost brand new Sportster tank, you know, and I had, you know, fell and bumped my head and thought I was going to get another Sportster, and you taught me out of it. And I'm like, "I'm not going to use that." And it's been sitting on the coffee table in my den. And I'm like, "It's a cool tank, but, you know, I'm going to turn that into money to buy a motorcycle. And it's not going to be a Sportster." And, you know, I sold it for $125.
That's not bad.
I bought it at a swap meet for $50.
Yeah, see, you still made it. I mean, I've talked about, you know, me and friends have talked about, if I set up a booth at a swap meet with my stuff, right, I'm going to have a section, three or four items. If someone comes over and just touches it, it's theirs. So as soon as they touch it, you're taking that part. Get out of here. It's free.
Don't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's people there at the swap meet. What was bad about it is it rained, so not a lot of people were there. You know, it was people that were vending, and we were around a bunch of people that we know. And or no, through the swap meet. And so when it quit raining, you know, everybody's coming out of the woodwork, and I couldn't leave. So I only made it to two other tables.
Yeah.
And I did not buy one single thing.
Well, you don't need anything else. Those are the guys that you love. They're like, "I don't want to put this stuff back in my van. Make me an offer."
Yes.
And then at that point, I'm like, "Oh, great. Do I really even want this now?"
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I did meet another cool FXR guy, and he should be listening to our podcast because he knows all about it. And I didn't give him stickers because I didn't have any, but he's going to be in our FXR club. But Chad, if you're listening, and you better be, because when this gets uploaded, I'm sending you a link. I'm going to make you listen to it.
That's how we get our listeners. We make them listen.
Yes, we demand they listen to our podcast. Our ramblings.
Hold on. I got a message from this guy. He listens to the podcast, and they're from Connecticut. He's going to be coming to Laconia next year for his first time.
Okay.
Yeah, his name is Matt. And burnt up wood burning is his profile.
Okay.
So he does these really cool, like, it looks like, you know, a log. So you cut like a log about 5 inches thick, you know, and he burns in Harley Davidson logos, old bikes, you know.
Right. So send me the link so I can follow him. And
yeah, like this one right here, it's a so it I don't even know how to explain it. It looks like a log, like a big pine tree that just got cut, and then it's cut into like discs. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So and then he's got this, it's an Evo motor burnt into it. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's $30 shipped to your house.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's homemade art.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll send you his profile.
Yes, definitely. I would like to follow him. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And you know, if I do make Laconia, it's probably going to be on a plane to Brian's house and ride one of his motorcycles for a few days.
Yep, there you go.
Dodge the raindrops.
Because there will be raindrops.
There will be raindrops, yeah. And we've done, you can go back and listen to our podcast. We talk about Laconia and, you know, all the places that we go and do and see and everything. And if you've listened this long, you're our favorite listener.
An hour and 20 minutes. Time to go to bed. Jeez.
Yes, it is. But I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Oh, before we go, we've got to do, because I was sent a message wanting to know what happened to what's in your saddlebag.
Oh, okay.
So I've already kind of mentioned it a while ago. So what's in your saddlebag? If you ride an old motorcycle, and I know we've probably said this 100 times, take a toolkit. And what you're going to need in that is a half inch. And then what you can do is go to the Harley shop or to Hobo Freight and get that multi-tool that has the Allen, the, what is the little star?
Torx.
The Torx. Yeah, Torx. And the screwdriver, Phillips and standard on the other end. You need that.
Definitely. Because
I have used it. So yes, that's what my suggestion of what's in your saddlebag. And at this time of the year, you better throw an extra hoodie, some thicker gloves, and a jacket in your saddlebag if you live where I do and you're going to take off and ride.
Or some of those warm pads, those
hot hands.
Yeah. Oh, those are the best.
So is that what's in your saddlebag?
Yes,
but your saddlebag's parked.
Yeah, but hot hands. Well, I got some oven cleaner in my saddlebags. Easy off oven cleaner.
Take off the anodizing. Hey, you learn things on the Upship podcast.
Definitely.
Yeah. But as we close out, thank you for listening to the Upship podcast. Brian, where can they follow you on Instagram?
The Upship podcast, NH.
Okay. Will you be doing, so now that you have a dusting, will there be some snowmobile content?
Oh, definitely. I think the snowmobile, I started it up about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. It fired right up on the 37th pull.
You started at lunch. You finished dinner.
Yeah. Jeez. My arm still doesn't feel the same, but it'll start up easier now.
Okay. Yeah. That's hilarious. So yeah, and you can follow me at the Upshift podcast or Harley Guy 105 there on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We'd like to thank CNC Thunder personally. They work on all my bikes here in the upstate of South Carolina. And Mike and the team at Suspension Technologies has got my Road Glide and Brian's Road Glide riding straight down the road. Suspension Technologies USA. Look them up on Instagram, Facebook, and the World Wide Web. Brian, you got anything else to add on this very lengthy Thanksgiving Black Friday episode of the Upshift podcast?
The only thing is, I hope our listeners get some good deals and get some cool motorcycle parts delivered to their house from Black Friday.
I hope they do too. And if you do, tag us. Or if you see a Black Friday that you think we need between here and Black Friday, let us know.
Yeah. Cross Thread Cycles, they're going to have a good one too.
Yes. Yes, I meant to mention that. Yeah, because I'm actually going to buy something from that guy.
All right, cool.
Cool guy. Okay, man. Enjoyed it. We are the Upshift Podcast, and we are out.
See you.